The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville, Fayette Rudd Radio. It's Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Russell, Trey, and Bear back with you. Parker Pewitt on quality control this afternoon as we steamroll along here on Fan Run Radio on a day when, you know, you wake up and it's just kind of a nice, slow July afternoon. It's the last day of SEC Media Days down in Birmingham. You know, things kind of slowing down. We've got our last day of Champions League qualification for what you're talking about today. And you're thinking, okay, it's just going to be one of those shows. We'll probably get into something kind of silly, off the wall, off topic, summer topic here on the show today. And then out of the blue, just blindsided. Tennessee fan base just get blindsided today by Matt Hayes of the Sporting News. Not even got to have your head on a swivel as a Tennessee fan. You never know where it's coming from.
What'd Hayes have to say?
He was saving it up.
Yeah, man.
Ready to fire.
Bear, have you not read the article that's got the internet's all abuzz this afternoon?
No.
Well, have you not listened to, you know, any other show? I mean, you're Mr. I'm not buying that you haven't read the Matt Hayes article. And he's not on Sporting News anymore. Who's he with?
I really haven't. I'll listen to my boys in the morning for a couple of hours. And then I'll listen to music.
So Matt Hayes, BleacherReport.com says, once a proud SEC heavyweight, Tennessee will never be elite again.
I mean, I agree with the first part of it. He was doing good. We were once a proud.
He was off to a good start.
He was off to a good start. We were once
the predicate was
the first sentence was okay. I mean, that the setup.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were once a proud heavyweight elite of the SEC.
So he says Tennessee will never be elite again. And
that's what I take umbrage at.
His main three reasons for saying that Tennessee will never be elite again, and you can go read the article and for yourself. He says Jeremy Pruitt is, quote, an unproven career assistant. He said that Tennessee and he said that Tennessee should have hired Dan Mullen and kind of implied that we could have and just didn't because of our own institutional incompetence, which
I don't think that's true.
Is not true. And then he said recruiting is not going well, citing the fact that as of the time he wrote the article, I think we ranked number 29 or something in 247's recruiting rankings.
What for the coming up year?
Yeah. Yep. Which is misleading, obviously.
Who is this guy?
He's a long time. We've had him on the show before.
Really?
Long time college football writer. Used to work with Sporting News. And finally, the other teams are thriving. The teams that we used to beat up on back in the day, Georgia, South Carolina, you know, those teams are – even Vanderbilt is better than they are now. So that – his thesis, never be elite again, backs it up with a variety of things. Trey, you read the article.
The GPA thing stood out to me. I'm talking about Pruitt talking about his players with GPAs. I mean, he tried to parallel that into his article about how Tennessee was not going to come back. And if you're, you know, you're focused on
if you're
on
talking
this thing,
about GPA, it means you don't have anything on the field to point to as being successful.
It just didn't. It didn't feel like it meshed at all. I don't.
Well, let's all take the orange colored glasses off for just a second and ask, is he right?
No, he's a jackass.
Why?
Because, I mean, you can't say that, but the whole will never be again.
Why? Because he did. He did say that. Why can't he say that? What is the?
Well, I mean, he's welcome to say it, but it's just it's stupid.
Why?
Even without the orange colored glasses, because he's saying that never.
Maybe I mean, predicate he's that with yeah, I mean, next he's, 10 years.
Or, he's speaking in absolutes.
Yeah, and
I mean, this guy's opinion plus a dollar would get me a Coke.
I took issue with a couple of things. Jeremy Pruitt is an unproven career assistant is basically what he said. We had to go down the list. And first of all, like we did try and hire Dan Mullen. We would have hired Dan Mullen. John Curry was hoping to hire Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen was waiting for the Florida job because it's a better job and he's more familiar with that job. And when the Chip Kelly thing blew up in Florida's face, they quickly settled on Dan Mullen as their fallback, and he was waiting on that and took the job. If Florida had hired Chip Kelly like they wanted to, Dan Mullen would be the head coach at Tennessee right now.
Do you honestly think that? Because I look at the messages and everything that went down on that Thursday of the Egg Bowl and then that Friday morning, and I think a lot of it has to do with Tennessee not even getting on the plane and going to Mississippi.
No, if you look at the messages, that was Curry's plan, was to get on the plane and go to Mississippi. But Mullen started ghosting Curry. They had been in pretty constant communication,
right,
and were planning on meeting in Mississippi that weekend after Tennessee's game. But once Florida moved on from Kelly to Mullen, he started ghosting us. And Curry was, was there. You could see the text. He's, hey, are we still on? Never had a response from him.
But he was also going back and forth with Mullen's reps, Dowdle, Clint Dowdle, Jimmy, and
Tennessee would have hired Dan Mullen.
If they'd got the thing done on Tuesday before the Egg Bowl.
Here's the point, though. Matt Hayes's supposition is that Tennessee could have hired Dan Mullen and didn't because John Curry and Tennessee were incompetent and couldn't get a deal done, which is not the case, man. Like, they basically had the framework of a deal and were just waiting to consummate it. But Mullen was obviously slow playing Tennessee because he thought he could get the Florida job. If Florida had hired Chip Kelly, he would have taken the Tennessee
job.
He'd
be the head coach. Right?
Well, that's pretty clear from...
Also, it's pretty well known that his former boss, Scott Strickland, he was texting him on the side and being like, hey, hold up here. Don't jump on Tennessee yet.
Oh, he would have left Mississippi State.
We'll come in on
that. He couldn't get out of there quick enough.
Right.
Like, so that's one. If you're saying that Tennessee didn't hire Dan Mullen because they preferred to hire somebody else, that's just factually incorrect.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
It's disingenuous. That's the big problem I've had so far.
Second of all, that's just number one of about four things that I'm
very disingenuous.
At. Number two is... You're labeling Jeremy Pruitt a unproven career assistant. Okay, that's true.
That's disingenuous as hell.
But, I mean, what is Kirby Smart? What is Dabo Swinney? What is Lincoln Riley? Three coaches that have lived in the college football playoff in their young careers. I guess, maybe Kirby hasn't, but have been to the college football playoff, have lived in the top 10, top 5 of college football in their young careers. All "quote unquote," what is a proven assistant?
I would think that would be Pruitt.
I would think that would be Pruitt and Kirby. Yeah.
Pruitt had how many times they have number one defense? He's got nine or ten guys that he coached as their position coach that are arguably in the mix for being the 10 best DBs in the NFL.
And listen, none of us are going to sit here and say that Jeremy Pruitt was high up on our lists when that coaching search began. That would be disingenuous as well. Yeah, he was way on down the list, and we basically had to settle for him. But to basically say that, you had to have a career assistant coach, well, lots of schools hire career assistant coaches. Guess what? You can't be a head coach until you've been a career assistant coach. You don't start at head coach and work your way down. That's just the nature of progression in any business. You work your way up to the top.
Unless you're Lane Train.
The Dave Doran stuff was interesting as well. I'm saying Dave Doran, publicly, I think the quote was publicly waved goodbye or something along those lines like that.
Dave Doran took one look at how pissed off we were in Knoxville. He didn't want any part of us.
Right.
We didn't want him, and we let him know.
Yeah.
He wasn't an option. He wasn't on the fans, the list.
And I got the impression from, again, reading Matt Hayes' article today on Bleacher Report, that he wasn't about to try and say that Tennessee fans were in the wrong for nixing the Schiano hire or the Doran hire because –
I do think he is smarter than that. He knew that wouldn't fly. He knew like that wouldn't even pass the smell test. I think he genuinely is probably confused on the details of the Dan Mullen situation. It just doesn't realize that what he wrote was incorrect. But, you know, I kind of – to me it read like he probably he knew that if he piled on the Schiano stuff or the Doran stuff, that that would be – people would see through that, not just Tennessee fans but others, because nobody is saying – even the people that lambasted Tennessee for the Schiano Sunday thing, even all the people that are on the list, nobody today is still clinging to that saying, oh, yeah, they should have hired Schiano, except for Urban Meyer, Greg Schiano, Ohio State, Penn State loyalists. Nobody is saying that Tennessee should have hired him, because look at where Greg Schiano is now. So that's number two.
He's out of the sport.
Number three, and I think this is – you know, this is the most debatable, and we talk more about this as we go along here, is the recruiting thing. To say that you rank number 29 in the 247 recruiting rankings on July 18th, when early signing period is 5 months away and signing day proper is 7 months away, is just... like, it doesn't matter, man. Like, go in and look at the rest of those rankings and look at the quality of commit that Pruitt is getting. Look at the guys that Tennessee's in on, leads on. And most people who follow that, the Rivals and 247s guys, like, if you ask them, where do you think Tennessee's going to finish in the rankings this year? Most people say borderline top 10, yeah. Somewhere in that 8 to 12 range. If you had to guess right now, that's kind of where Tennessee's going to be, which is fantastic for a program that's won 9 games in 2 years. So, I mean,
but that's a selling point from him, that of his article in this piece, was that, hey, look, Tennessee's not going to get back to recruiting. Here's where they stand. If anything, as of now, should have been added in. He took some interesting shots in a sense of where was he going with this article towards the end of – because did he mention any of the Philip Fulmer AD stuff besides – I'm trying to go back and
– I don't think so, but let's zero in on the recruiting point.
Do you agree with that?
No, not at all. Because, like, if you ask the experts, they say, it doesn't matter where you are right now, and there are other good programs. I can pull it up and look at it. There are other good programs that aren't rated highly right now in the national recruiting rankings. It matters where you finish. And Tennessee has, what, about 12 commitments right now? They're not even halfway through. And you look at some of the players they're in on, including – the players in-state, which are rated, it's a very good year in-state for Tennessee right now. I mean, look at some of the teams that are rated low right now. Tennessee's 26th, according to Rivals. Auburn is 21st right now. Texas, we all think Tom Herman is recruiting really well, right?
Yeah, well, they are.
He's doing a good job. Where is Texas ranked? 31st in recruiting right now.
So they've got, a commitment from the number one quarterback and nobody else?
Does that mean that they're doing poorly? No, it means that they have 9 commitments and they're probably going to sign a dozen other 4- and 5-star prospects and finish in the top 10 because it's July 18th. I mean, it's just a lazy argument point to say that you're not recruiting well right now. Jerry Pruitt's recruiting very well for a guy that is
with nothing to sell?
With nothing to sell.
Yeah. I feel like
maybe
at this point –
one of the top recruiters.
So
he's got the top recruiting. I don't know. I mean, he's got T. Martin. He's got Brian Niedermeyer.
So that's idiotic. I think the Mullen thing is just factually incorrect. The Jeremy Pruitt unproven career assistant thing is, a shaky point at best. The recruiting thing is a very, very shaky point. And then the last one that I would take issue with, but that I think is actually his best point as to why Tennessee will never be elite again, because this is true, actually, is that the other teams are thriving. It's a more difficult environment to win in.
Yeah, see, but I think it's even that to me is disingenuous. I mean, Vanderbilt's not thriving. Vanderbilt's got a little bit of oxygen right now because Tennessee's been in a 100-year lull. South Carolina's not thriving right now.
Well, I would just say, look at the point you just made. Yes, even if those teams are thriving, well, is Tennessee thriving? No. But if these teams can quote unquote thrive where they weren't thriving before, wouldn't it stand to reason that Tennessee could thrive again? If Vanderbilt and Kentucky can be doing, if Kentucky can have a 10-win season,
they were ranked in the top 10.
Yeah,
like why would Tennessee
until they came in here and got just smashed? I don't know. I still haven't seen the article. I want to read it.
Yeah, do you call it clickbait or do you find 2 to 3 spots in there that you think that Matt could be onto something?
I mean, both. I think that it's, you know, it's clickbait season, first of all. It's list season, and, you know, it's the middle of July, so you want to get clicks, and Bleacher Report is notorious for wanting to get clicks and having the, you know, slideshow articles and all that stuff, and that's their business model. That's fine, and I guess we're playing into that by talking about it all day here on Fan Run Radio. It's a fun topic to talk about. It's fun to get all indignant about something and push back, but yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, like, he might be right. We don't know. And I think you go back to Bear's first point is he's speaking in absolutes. We don't know, man. We thought Nebraska 5 years ago, everybody probably thought Nebraska, like, that's dead in the water. Recruits don't want to go live in Nebraska. That's never going to be. We didn't know that Scott Frost was going to turn out to be the next hot thing.
Right.
And now he is, and they got him, and I kind of feel like Nebraska is probably, yeah, they've got the hotshot quarterback. And I think a lot of people feel like they're on the up and up, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Nebraska improves over the course of the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think it's one of those programs, too, that you look at in the same way you look at Tennessee. Been fighting through the trenches to get back to where they were supposed to be. I agree with Bear. The never part is what stands out to me, period. If you said, hey, look, it's going to be 10 years if Jeremy Pruitt could turn it around and get things right, then I would agree with you. The never part, you're making a broad statement on something that really you're not making a basis of an argument for, because I don't get the recruiting thing. And then the fact that he gets up there and speaks about GPA and all that good jazz for a while, he's making points that I think want to come off kind of flashy and want to come off kind of a jab to the heart. But at the end, the article just, like you said, and you brought it up, a lot of the pieces just don't make sense.
Well, what do you expect him to talk about? When you are coming off 5-7 and you just got pantsed by Vanderbilt the last time everybody saw a game, like you can't really talk about what's on the field. So you have to accentuate the positives, and if that's academics, you know, so be it. That's academics. Hopefully we're not talking about that. Hopefully that's not our lead talking point here in the future. But as it stands right now, I mean, you talk about what you accentuate the positives when you're up there in front of the national media. And again, I think that's why he went on that 20-minute diatribe and tried to limit, because he didn't want to answer a bunch of questions in the main room about Vanderbilt's 3-game winning streak, about Missouri housing you in your own stadium, and all this, that, the other.
Like the one Muschamp had to answer yesterday. Somebody asked him if he was Clemson's little brother now, and he had to take a stand up for it. I would agree with you on that one. I think Jeremy's got his work cut out for him, but also I don't see him being on any kind of hot seat or anything, and this makes it seem like that he's never going to improve at Tennessee. They potentially might not be here long because Tennessee's never going to be elite again or be good again.
Well, what do you think? You work with the Read Optional and do a lot of writing and internet stuff, Trey. I mean, do you think it was it clickbait, or was it a cheap attempt to rile up a fan base that is known to get riled up fairly easily?
The same reason that I thought ESPN put Tennessee at number 15 in their FPI poll or whatever, football, power football index poll, is the same reason I think he took a shot at Tennessee like this. Because he knows he's going to get thousands of clicks on his website, and also people are going to be discussing him. He's going to be going on radio shows. He's going to talk about his article for a week, and it's a way to put more content out there. For the same guy that was praising the Butch Jones hire and saying he was going to win and he's that good of a coach and he was doing that back at 13.
Whoa. Yeah. This guy thought Butch Jones. Yeah.
Somebody went up and dug up the tweets.
Let's stop talking about him then. He's an idiot.
Well, I mean, he wasn't the only one. There were plenty of Tennessee folks that thought that Butch Jones, quote unquote, got it. And
said it once and we'll say it again. Butch Jones has won everywhere. He'll win at Tennessee. Terrific coach.
What's the date on that one?
That was January, February, March 14th, 2013.
I mean, the guy's a moron. He has a failure to evaluate talent. Not a very good writer.
Much like Butch Jones.
Be kind.
He put out a disingenuous hit piece.
Phone lines are already backing up here. Next Door Home Group hotline is open, 865-546-8200. Folks want to talk about it. Let's start with the Aussie Gator today. Long time no talk, Aussie Gator. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Hey, just before I jump in here, congratulations, Trey. I follow you on Twitter. Gator Mate, you know my my at. So I just wanted to say congratulations. I've been following you since you were doing early Periscope. So that's awesome that you're on with my most favorite Tennessee commentator slash host.
It's an honor, and I appreciate that, Aussie. It means a lot, and getting to sit next to Russell every day is a dream come true. And
all right, enough with the love fest. What do you call for, Aussie Gator?
Thanks, Aussie.
Okay, so you wanted an outside perspective as I'm trying to drive up the W Road driving stick. I'm going to make the best of it. Russ knows that. You know the W Road, Russell?
The W Road?
In Chattanooga up to Signal Mountain.
No, I don't. I haven't been on that one.
I actually do. That's not a fun road to drive on.
Especially driving stick with a phone in your hand.
I'm driving stick, and I got the don't tell the cops, but I got the phone to my ear.
Wow.
And I'm breaking the law today.
That's why you're one of our favorite callers, man.
Just be safe, man.
Busting out, man. So I was just considering everything you're talking about with Mullen and so forth, and you know, I got a lot of Tennessee friends, and, you know, their main concern has been just with the recruiting. And you can't speak of a program 10 years away and say, well, they're never going to be a legitimate contender. You become a contender but with the players that you recruit. I mean, you know, 15 years ago, everybody could have said the same about Alabama. I went down there, you know, 2006. It was a gray site, man. It was half empty. They almost lost to Houston, and it was horrible. And I was like, what a joke this program is. So, you know, and that was 13 years ago. So, obviously, you get the right coaching anywhere, and the recruiting starts to turn over. You win games. You get better recruits in, you know. And before you know it, you're going to New Year's Six Bowl, and you're a contender. So to say that you're never a contender is just a blind statement, and it's, you know, to put your name to something like that's just an embarrassment.
It's about players. We have to get players, pure and simple. And, yeah, you got to be able to develop them, coach them, and make the right decision when it's fourth down and the headset's on and there's 100,000 people screaming in your ear. That's all true. But, without the players, all that other stuff doesn't matter. You don't have a chance. And Fulmer said it during the spring game. He said, look, you know, last year we signed five guys that everybody else in the country wanted. We got to sign about 10 of those guys this year. I think they're on pace to do that. And then you stack that on top of each other, and in two or three years you've got a roster that can compete again. So, like, they're doing that. You know, is Jeremy Pruitt going to be a successful game day coach? I don't know, man. We've seen mixed results in year one. I'm encouraged by some of the off-field moves and decisions he's made in the offseason, but you have to get the players first. To say that he's not doing that, you're either disingenuous and you're lying, or you're ignorant because you haven't looked at the facts closely
enough. Yeah, one or the other.
Right. And to have – I mean, you guys, I think, were ranked, number 12 recruiting class you finished with. And, I mean, as you know from Florida's point of view, you got to make sure all those guys get on campus. You know, and stay on campus these days. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, what's the mood like down there with all the players at Florida's? I mean, every time we turn on Twitter, a Florida player's transferring.
Go Gator.
those are just the ones that weren't going to play, brother. They knew.
we didn't want them anyway.
the kid that ended up in Oregon would have played.
Oh, no. He's at Southern Cal now, man. He can't make up his mind. He changes them like cereal flavors, man. He's like, one minute he was Oregon he had signed with, and now he's moved to Southern Cal, which he originally was going to go with. So, Chris Steele, I think he got a little bit homesick, missed his mommy, and had to go back to the, you know, those West Coast boys are a different flavor than us Southern types. So, yeah. But I think everybody else kind of transferred out of depth because, you know, that if you're not going to play, that's the whole situation now. But I remember just this week, you know, some of the coaches saying there's more guys in the transfer portals than there are scholarships. So, you know, at the end of the day, someone's going to end up with no school to go to.
Yeah. So, all right, good stuff.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing. What really troubled me about last year with Tennessee was I watched the Vanderbilt Tennessee game, and I just couldn't understand the mentality of why you wouldn't want another bunch of practices in a bowl game to go to. It just seemed like they didn't give a damn, you know?
I think the coaches, I think the head coach wanted it for sure. I think the players kind of quit on him. And I think that Pruitt, to his credit, he kind of addressed that without addressing it directly this week at Media Days when he was talking about how he lost the relationships with the players. I think the fact that he is self-aware enough to go back and realize that, make the changes, hire coordinators that he trusts, and take a step back and make sure that the chemistry is good on the team, I think that's an encouraging note.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, awesome show as usual, and good to hear all three of you guys all on the same time.
Thanks, Aussie Gator.
Thanks, Aussie.
Be careful out there, man. Drive carefully. He's driving stick with
He's driving up Signal Mountain.
It sounds treacherous.
Surprised he didn't see any blue lights so far.
Did you notice something about the way Bear interacts with the Aussie Gator?
It's very energetic.
Well, he's very respectful.
He's cordial.
Maybe the only a caller who's a fan of an opposing team that Bear treats with a level of respect and dignity.
Because if it was like Vandy Chris or something like that, he'd have flushed him.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's just the accent?
I think it's because Bear has a soft spot in his heart for, you know, that accent.
What are you really thinking? No, I think it's the accent.
Feels like he's proper.
If you're a Vandy fan or a Georgia fan, Alabama fan, whatever, if you just call in with a cool accent, Bear won't be mean to you.
Well,
I think
you
there's a lesson
there,
here.
No.
No, it can't be a hillbilly accent, like a foreign accent.
Fake news. It's not
You love accents. You love the Aussie Gator. You love it when I do my British accents.
Will you give me some Liverpool?
Well, maybe we'll get to it later. There's an update from the Shire.
I mean, I do
that.
See? He's always he's a really nice guy. And he doesn't – Aussie Gators, he's a smart guy.
Pretty much all our callers are nice guys.
He likes college football.
Who's a rude caller?
Matty Ice.
Matty Ice, like the nicest dude ever. He's a doctor.
Whiskey Jim.
When was the last time he called?
Matty
Ice.
He
came out the remote and told me he hated me that day.
Well, he told you he hated you at a remote?
Something like that.
I actually respect that. The people that talk trash to you
remote
on Twitter, but will actually say it to your face. You got to respect that, man, because most people two-faced. They'll say something. They'll trash you on Twitter, and then they'll come up to your remote and be like, hey, guys, love the show.
Yeah.
Get one of them free backyard burger coupons.
Yeah, can I have a burger?
Oh,
can I get some Smokies tickets? Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. It's Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Hey, coming up, I want to go to Bears British Open Leaderboard Scoreboard Update Center. Tiger Woods struggling out of the gates at the Open. Bear Be Ready will be coming to you for all the latest golf news at any moment.
Do you see the look of stark terror on my face right now? I was all happy listening to some almonds here, trying to figure out how long we could leave it up. This song makes me happy.
Let's get Phil in here next while we request that Bear do the absolute minimum amount of show prep today. Phil, you're on The Drive. Good afternoon, sir. Phil, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
There he is. What's up, Phil?
Not much. Interesting start to the show. I think Tennessee fans are just a little bit they're easy game for these people to ridicule. I mean, back when we were in our heyday, we got ridiculed by media.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a little bit easier to take when
you're
good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's – The wind blows hardest at the top of the flagpole. We're finding out it blows pretty strongly at the base, too. I'd like to get back up towards the top, though.
Well, the problem is we got to beat Derek Mason, and then we got to work our way up the flagpole.
That is your theme, Phil. I mean, you have been consistent, if nothing else.
The best case scenario for Tennessee is we're in the division to do that. I'm glad we're not in the Western Division, or, you know, Jeremy Pruitt probably wouldn't even last 2 years.
Well, who was it? Was it Greg McElroy yesterday down there saying that he thinks top to bottom, like on the whole,
the East,
the East is actually stronger than the West?
Yep, he said that.
Really? Well, that is interesting.
I guess he's just saying, like, Ole Miss and Arkansas are so bad at the bottom that it kind of drags down the way. I don't know if I'm buying that, but I mean, definitely, like, the path to – I don't know, the path to get to the top of the East seems a lot easier without Saban around.
Well, you're playing Alabama, LSU, you're playing Texas A&M, Mississippi State. I mean, Ole Miss catches a nut every now and then. Arkansas, I mean, that's a tough in season, you know, SEC type schedule, Philly.
Yeah, it is. And you look at the Eastern Division, one thing, Jeremy Pruitt really is a good coach. He's coming here at the right time because the SEC, I don't consider Mason a great coach. I don't consider Stoops a great coach. I don't consider Muschamp a great coach. Kirby Smart, I don't think he's any better than Mark Richt. And Dan Mullen's definitely not Steve Spurrier or Urban Meyer. So I think if Jeremy Pruitt is any worth anything at all, then he ought to be able to compete in 3 years.
Derek Mason said something yesterday, guys, down in Atlanta. In Hoover. And he said, yeah, somebody was asking about him turning over defensive coordinator duties and tied that into Jeremy Pruitt. He said, yeah, Jeremy Pruitt was smarter than me. He figured it out quicker, that you have to be the CEO of a company and not just focus on one division.
Who said that?
Derek Mason did, Vanderbilt's head coach.
Huh.
That's a smart – I mean, Derek Mason gave up play calling duties on defense.
I would feel better about it if that were coming from Kirby Smart or Nick Saban or something. It almost feels patronizing coming from Derek Mason.
Yeah, we'll add that to the list.
Guys, I understand that Buck Pearl has offered to be the Catholics' point guard, and he's also offered the big guy, Tomba, yesterday.
Yeah, B.J. Edwards, Phil, and Hamdi Tomba.
Yeah, Hamdi Tomba, yeah.
Is Bruce just going to set up camp over there on Cedar Bluff Road and live there for that?
Bobby Mason Lee.
After three guys over there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he wants a game. Kane's a freshman. He'll probably be a college basketball player. But, guys, why hasn't Tennessee offered one of these guys yet? Are they even evaluating him?
I don't know. I can't answer that one.
I'm sure that Rick Barnes, I don't know, evaluate whatever the terminology is. But
Coach Barnes knows there's a 7-foot, 14-year-old in Knoxville.
Yeah, I'm sure he's aware.
Well, I know they know who Tom is, but the point guard, there's not many point guards ever come out of Knoxville that are any good, and be ashamed if he goes to an SEC school.
Yeah, but it's like you said, the kid plays on Bobby Mays's AAU team. If BJ was playing on somebody else's AAU team, like say Felton's, Bruce probably doesn't get worried about him as early as he has.
Bruce Pearl's not going to be the only one coming after him.
I know that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Pearl, Auburn, and Tennessee, if BJ Edwards ends up being as good as it looks like he could be, if he develops, it wouldn't surprise me if they're, you know, Tennessee and Auburn get locked out on that and he ends up at one of the really regals.
Is Bruce Pearl even going to be able to hang on? I mean, Auburn today, they said they're expecting to receive a formal notice of allegations from the NCAA any time now. How's the NCAA going to treat Auburn knowing that their head coach is a two-time NCAA loser? Already.
Well, he said he didn't know what was going on. Right? Well, that's what he said, right?
Of course he'd say that.
He's clear.
Yeah, I knew that Chuck Persons was dirty. I just turned the other cheek. Of course he's going to say that, Phil.
Yeah, and the Kessler kid is enamored with Bruce Pearl also.
He's a good coach.
It's easy to get enamored with Bruce.
He's a fun guy to be around. I mean, listen, we were in that relationship for 6 years.
It's passionate.
Yeah, it was a
wears his feelings on his sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, he's the crazy ex-girlfriend that
burnt your house down.
But you keep, you're like, man, is she still hot? Like, you give her that.
Keep calling at 10 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like an evangelist that cheated on his wife. You know what? See ya.
Yeah. I mean, he is. He's a lot like Jimmy Swaggart. I'm sorry.
Wait,
I lied.
Does that make us Tammy Faye Baker?
Yes.
No. We're the idiots that would continue to go to the same church and hand the guy money.
Yeah, you ever watch those? The depositions these guys have to take, those evangelicals?
You're trying to say evangelicals?
Yeah, that too.
Hey, no. Those guys make my blood boil.
Like Kenneth Copeland and all them, they have to go in front of a grand jury, and they're like, what do you need these planes for? Well, I don't want to be surrounded by the devil in these big, 737s. You know, I got to talk to
God.
Can't
be bringing the word of Jesus to Africa in just a Cessna.
He said, I can talk better to God in this private jet than I can on a coach plane. He goes, what'd you need Louis Vuitton clothes for? Well, if I'm talking to God, I have to look good. That's what he says. Go back and watch these depositions they give. It's fantastic.
Awful people. Just awful.
I'd give him a lot of time.
What do you need the big house for? To rent it out to the guests that we have to come in.
What do you guys think? I mean, is Bruce Pearl's I know nothing defense going to hold up when the NCAA? I mean, it might be a fool's errand to predict what the NCAA is going to decide, but it's pretty clear that Auburn is expecting them.
Depends on if his lawyers at Auburn come up to him and let him know, hey, they've got something on you. Hear what they have. Watch out. Say the right things.
Who's next, Bear?
I don't think he's going to get set
Big
up.
Big Josh. But hold on. I got a response to that.
Oh, yeah?
The problem with that statement is you're talking about Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
He doesn't just automatically do the ethically and morally right thing in every situation.
Agreed. No.
Agreed.
Like, you show me a picture of me cooking out in my backyard. I'm not and it involves any kind of anything serious where lawyers are involved. I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to sit there and lie like he did. That's what God has asked fired, he lied.
Yeah, but they didn't show him the damn picture.
It does
He
say,
didn't have to have – Why? To me, that's bizarre that you have to have your attorneys tell you, hey, they've got a picture, you don't lie.
They've got evidence.
He's just completely unprepared for it, and you just – I think he made a gut flinch reaction to it, and it does say something, I think, about the man's character that was his instinct was to just lie to the NCAA. You could tell the truth, I guess, is one option. I don't know. Could you just say it like, listen, no comment. I need to go talk to a lawyer or something. Like,
I'm not gonna
that
would have
been better
myself.
Than lying. That might have been frowned upon too, but obviously the lying about is what did him in.
Yeah. It wasn't really that he lied about the barbecue. It's that he lied.
Yeah. It's not the – Oh, why are we still talking about it?
I don't know.
Because he offered, Philly.
Because he offered two kids from Catholic. And Bruce is probably doing it out of spite. Oh, yeah, I'll get the fire stoked up on Barnes up there.
He still wants to be here, man.
I mean,
wants to be here. He's laying the foundation. If Barnes takes another job, if he goes to UCLA, if he retires, if he becomes a missionary, whatever he's going to do in the future, Bruce is going to be there. Hey. I never left. I still love Knoxville.
Coming
I still
off
recruit
another 5
Knoxville.
Years, so calls.
Jamie will be like pressed to him. He'll be in a tuxedo welcoming him back.
The petition will be fired up. It's like he's our basketball Gruden. It never dies. He loves Tennessee. He's got a lot of orange blood in his body.
I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Big Josh, you're on the drive.
Tennessee got a taste, though.
Hey, Russ. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I was talking about that article.
Yeah.
Man, you see it so much anymore in the media. I mean, half these guys, these national guys, and about half the regional guys, they read Twitter. Hell, I don't even think they watch sports, I know they got to write articles, but some of the stuff they put out is just stupid, I mean, like you was talking about recruiting, like that Aussie Gator said, we were ranked 12th in recruiting, And there's one site that comes out with a class ranking after kids get in school or they don't get in school. And if you added our transfers that we got in here and the kids we got in school, we were like seventh or eighth. And that's coming off a 6-6 year, man.
He is
a 5-7 year, I mean.
He's being aggressive in the transfer market. He's doing all he can to flip it as quickly as he can. And it's a long climb, man. I mean, we were down in the gutter when he got here, and it's not going to be fixed just like that.
Right. But if we start winning games, you're going to see recruiting explode with this group of coaches. I mean, they can recruit. They proved that already at other jobs. But I will say that – you know, the SEC East, it is different, man. I think we got a little steeper hill to climb, Russell, than we used to. I think if I was Coach Fulmer, the first thing I'd be trying to do is push a 9-game SEC schedule and get Alabama off our as a permanent opponent off our schedule every year. I mean, let's say even the playing ground. Nobody else is going to have to do what we're going to have to do to get back to winning SEC titles.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, it is a steeper climb, and maybe everybody wants to look at Alabama and, you know, can we get back to 12-0? Can we have another undefeated season? And I think you can get to Atlanta and get to and win an SEC championship without winning all your games, without 12-0. Because if it's Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia, if all three of those programs are up, we're going to cannibalize each other. Yeah, you can get to with three losses like LSU did in 2001. I mean, you can get – it can be done if the breaks just sort of go that way. And that's what Tennessee's got. I mean, Phil is a broken record, but he's right. You gotta beat Vanderbilt first. You gotta win the East before you can win the SEC. You gotta win the SEC before you can go to the playoff. You gotta win in the playoffs before you can go to the national championship. You know, it's a process here, and you can't just go from where we've been to the top of the mountain. There's a lot of stops in between where we were when Butch Jones got fired and where we want to be.
Yeah, well, I think Pruitt can get it done, Russell. I'm kind of sheepy this week. I don't know. Maybe just hear him talk for a change. But, hey, you need to turn the Bravos on tonight. We got
we need a win, Josh. We need a W.
Yes, second place Nationals. We need to put them back in their place. Got Deron versus Strasburg, I think.
A little two-game skid here.
Well, we never play well on a get-out-of-town day, but we've won like 7 out of our last 10. So, I mean, it's hard to complain too much for 5-2 road trip. So keep doing that. We'll be all right. But anyway, y'all hang in there. Take care. See you guys.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. Portions of the show today brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. You check them out online at cnbtn.com. That's cnbtn.com for Citizens National Bank, now offering free checking where you can earn 1.75% annual percentage yield and get free ATM fee refunds. Call for details, 865-453-9031, or again, that website, cnbtn.com. Back with more of the drive. We got bad news, good news on the recruiting front yesterday for Tennessee. We'll break it down coming up next.
The drive.
The Top Gun 2 trailer has dropped. We're watching it in the Fan Run Studios here. I gotta admit, like, you know, in Hollywood, they can make any piece of crap movie look good in a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah, but
it's a good trailer.
I've been telling you about this one.
It looks good. My first reaction when I heard Top Gun 2 is like, cheap money grab. Not, you know, when you really look back at it, Top Gun 1, some people say this is sacrilege. Really wasn't that great a movie.
It wasn't.
But what? The planes are cool. Like, you know, and especially for, you know, I was, when did Top Gun 1 come out? 86, 87,
yeah,
something like that?
I think it was 87.
Yeah, I was a little kid. So it's just cool fighter jets, you know? Yeah.
This one's called Top Gun Maverick. It's not Top Gun 2. Top Gun Maverick.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
Miles Teller is Goose's son.
I want to see it. I want to see it too.
Who the hell is
Should
Miles
we have Trailer
Teller?
Time? Like, do y'all do
Trailer
that?
Time? No.
You know, I thought y'all watched trailers and stuff live on the Periscope.
Oh, we did that with the first trailer to the It Chapter 2 with Bear,
so
because Bear is notoriously afraid of clowns. What do you call it? Is it
harlequinophobia?
Harlequinophobia.
I've got that. Don't worry. I'm scared they're going to rush into my room at night.
We turned out the lights, and why? You want to do that? Can we turn out the lights and watch the It trailer again, the new one?
Sure.
It's bad.
Okay, we'll do that hour number two.
Okay.
Don't sound so excited. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you getting a little nervous?
No.
Do you not know who Miles Teller is?
No.
Did you ever see their movie, I Die For This, about the boxer? I forgot his name. He broke his neck. Oh, Tommy Panzania.
No.
You don't remember the boxer Tommy Panzania, world heavyweight? He broke his neck in a car wreck, came back.
No, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay. Miles Teller is an actor.
Has he been anything else other than this boxing movie?
Yes, he's been a lot of different movies. You'd know him immediately if you saw him.
I mean, I'm thinking, I thought you were talking about Jax Teller.
No, I'm not.
Penn and Teller? Oh, Miles Teller. He is the drummer in Whiplash.
Very good movie. The young drummer, Bear?
You ever see Whiplash?
No, I haven't yet. I've always wanted to.
It's a really good movie.
War Dogs, Bleed for This, Footloose,
Bleed
Project
for This,
X,
that was it.
Divergent.
War Dogs was pretty
Wait a
funny.
Minute.
War Dogs was good. That was where he and Jonah Hill are selling the weapons to, they go out, they like buy some weapons, a bunch of really.
What do you mean I'm stuck overseas? I've got 500 AK-47s.
All right, recruiting stuff last night, and Tennessee gets bad news. It's right as we were going off the air, Haynes King committed to Texas A&M. This is the four-star quarterback that Jim Chaney is absolutely in love with. Sounds like it's kind of a done deal there in recruiting. I know it's never done until they sign on the dotted line. Maybe Tennessee tries to get back in on that a little bit later, but he chooses A&M over Tennessee.
Transfer market. That's where Tennessee's going.
Then, about an hour after we got done with the show, Tennessee gets some good recruiting news from Darian Williamson. He's a 6'3", 190-pound wide receiver, three-star kid out of Brownsville, Tennessee, and a guy that he's wanted a camp find. Yeah, he came to camp. They said that he had, you know, just tremendously raw, didn't know how to get in his stance for the 40, still threw up a 4.5. This is a kid that his recruitment might blow up, according to the experts, once coaches start seeing him. He had a Texas A&M offer, too. So isn't this weird? Like, Tennessee, why are we recruiting against Texas A&M all the time now? That was never a school. What is Jimbo Fisher? It's not like they have a billion recruits in Texas. He's got to come up and raid Tennessee now all of a sudden.
We were also going after the kid from Jackson, Tennessee, correct, Bear and Russell? The linebacker, Jordan Davis?
He was after that guy, but he stole Chris Russell from us last year.
Chris Russell, I'm sorry.
Was the
Chris
linebacker.
I think because Jimbo and Fisher and Pruitt like this, they like to build their teams with the same kinds of kids. It's part of it.
Well, and Chris Morris out of Memphis, who's probably the number one player in the state this year, that's shaping up to be a Tennessee-Texas A&M knockdown dragout. Got to get that kid. Got to get that kid. When you talk about recruiting, I mean, he's probably –
What's
might
the
be,
last name?
Chris Morris?
Yeah, okay. That's it. Okay, that's what I thought.
So it is weird that it seems like we are recruiting. I know Haynes King is from Texas, but it seems like Jimbo is getting up into Tennessee trying to – they've got a commitment from Dallas Walker, who's a big defensive lineman from the west part of the state this year. He's getting up into Tennessee for some reason, I guess because he can. And
Good though at Florida State getting into Tennessee.
Yeah, that's true. You got Jalen Ramsey out of it. You know, Tennessee, you got to get some of the, you know, seeing these elite talents, and I know Memphis is kind of its own deal, but seeing so many elite in-state talent leave for Texas A&M, Clemson, Alabama, wherever it is, Georgia, like that's got to stop. And we talk about getting players being the key thing. That's got to stop if you want to get this thing back. All right. We're going to get Parker in here with a look at the British Open leaderboard and the top four at four. Coming up here in just a second. Stay with us. It is The Drive. Hour number two coming up. It's Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.